Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:37. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is November 3rd. And the big news in here today was not only that the dollar index has been pulling back all week, but that the pound rallied rather spectacularly, up 1.6 cents. That's the biggest upward dynamic that we've seen for the pound in quite some time. So certainly some steadying going on in here, but also, there are two reasons why it went up. The first, of course, is that there has been a High Court decision that there will have to be a parliamentary vote before the UK can really activate Article 50 of the treaty that brought it into the EU or locked it into the EU. That is one, certainly, one aspect. But there were additional comments by Mark Carney, from the Bank of England, saying that one shouldn't discount the possibility that the UK might raise rates in the event that inflation takes off. That is one of the most hawkish statements we've seen from a central bank anywhere, and therefore the bears that have been so prolific in shorting the pound were at least chastened in here today. Now, it is also a fantastic example when you look at the psychology of the market, that when you look at the two rather accelerated declines that we've had in the pound since July, one because of the referendum, the second because of what can only be described as a flash crash just a few weeks ago, but relatively similar sized ranges subsequently, and people very worried about the possibility that you're going to have an additional decline, the other shoe dropping, so to speak. But of course, and it's a point that we've made particularly with regard to crises in the past, is that a crisis has to be seen to be getting worse in order for the acceleration to continue at its at the pace that we've observed. And that is not the case at present with the UK. So there is then the potential that we get a reversionary move. Whether then the medium-term downtrend is reasserted is open to question. But today's action would suggest that it is either going to require some intervention on behalf of the Bank of England to start buying up bonds once more and selling the currency in terms of quantitative easing, or we're going to have to see another trigger in terms of short sellers coming back into this market. Now, the dollar index was additionally weak in here today. It was down about a quarter of a point. It is pulling back rather in a dynamic fashion from the upper side of that range, and the range has been in evidence for really much of the last 2 years. It's rather analogous to the kind of range that we see in euro dollar. Now, the euro wasn't particularly strong in here today. In fact, it was up less than the dollar index was down. So obviously the pound and the crown, the krona, having an impact there. Now, when we look at that dollar index and the impact that it had on the excuse me, I'm silencing my phone. I can tell you that my phone has been ringing off the hook with marketing material from robotic callers trying to get me to vote one way or the other, quite apart from the fact that I don't have a vote since I'm not a US citizen. But when we look at what happened in the precious metals, then the silver price is probably a good indicator of just where we are. It pulled back and hit a low today of $17.99. It's closing out the day at 18.35, and it, because it opened well below yesterday's close, the high of the day is around 18.64. But this is the first time in quite some time, at least the last few months, that we have seen the precious metals rally off an intraday low in a dynamic fashion. That would suggest that there are at least some people are not willing to wait for an additional pullback to initiate long positions. So in that, from that perspective, it's rather bullish. But what we can anticipate is that there is going to be additional volatility heading into the election, and it really is only 4 full days away. And considering that today is Thursday, there are only 2 market days ahead of the election itself. So there is the potential for an additional uptick in volatility. We're definitely seeing that in stock markets. Today, Facebook pulled back really quite sharply. It's now right in the region of its 200-day moving average. Google is also pulling back in a rather dynamic fashion. Facebook following its earnings, excuse me, Amazon following its earnings has pulled back rather sharply. It was pretty much unchanged in here today, but it has now unwound more than half of its overextension relative to the trend mean. The share that is perhaps most overextended among the large caps is Nvidia, and that has not pulled back by any real discernible amount, but it has paused in the $70 area, and its moving average has just north of $50. So it really is still very overextended on the upside. And I suspect that that is what we're going to see, is that anything that is really overextended is at a rather high risk of a reversionary move overall. When we take a broader look at the stock markets, then I've singled out the healthcare sector for particular scrutiny in today's comment of the day. Because when you look at the S&P 500 healthcare sector, the Euro Stoxx healthcare sector, and the FTSE 350 healthcare, then we have losses of momentum. And that was following, particularly in the case of the Euro Stoxx and the S&P 500, that we had particularly consistent advances between about 2010 and 2013. And that has transitioned into a much more volatile, ranging time and size, potential type 3 top formation. And now there are short-term oversold conditions as they come back down to the lower side of those ranges, but this has been a marked loss of consistency. And when we start to look around at various sub-indices, then there has been some technical deterioration overall. And what is absolutely required is that the bulls come back in force on Tuesday, or I suppose on Wednesday, when we get some idea of what the result is likely to be. And I think if regardless of whether of how one is likely to vote or one's personal political proclivities, I think we can all realize that if Trump wins, it would be considered a surprise by the market, and then that would represent people wanting to price that in with lower prices overall. So we are in a particularly volatile period of time, and it isn't just in stock markets that we're seeing overbought conditions unwound. The Brazilian market was down another 2.5% in here today. So it is unwinding in rather dynamic fashion, the short-term overbought condition that had developed there. Then in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng was additionally weaker. The Nikkei is pulling back towards the 17,000 level. It was down 1.75% in here today. Now the yen was a tad weaker. Excuse me, it was a tad stronger, and is trading below 103 at present. And now what that really does need to do is to demonstrate that there is some resistance around the 100 level, if that Nikkei is going to hold to that 17,000 level. But interestingly, the CSI 300 was in positive territory, and I really do think that that is perhaps most noteworthy of all, to highlight the indices that are exhibiting relative strength at a period of time when the European and US stock markets are in at least a short-term state of flux. The CSI 300 was up almost 1%, and it was being led higher by the financials and by the industrials. What we are seeing increasing evidence of is that Chinese economic figures are coming in a bit better, that producer prices have been trending higher pretty much all year, so that they are beginning to see inflation starting to come about. Now, that could also feed into inflationary pressures for the rest of the world. Certainly, China has been exporting deflation, it could just as easily export inflation. And I don't think that that is something that central banks are particularly prepared for. And that is also something that will be reflected in the bond markets. So, bond prices, the long bond was down about a half a point in the US, but gilts were down about a quarter of a point, and bunds down less than half a point in here today. It does look like that we have seen the low in yields, that we don't yet have evidence that these medium-term downtrends have been broken. There are still, there is still a lot of money sloshing around. There's a lot of interest in by central banks in what exactly they're going to do with those massive piles of bonds that they have. So I don't think we can call or start ringing a bell to say that the peak in the bond market has in fact occurred, but it does look like increasingly likely that that is the case. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.